Hello, I'm Bill Reynolds from the Providence Journal, and I'm here interviewing John Gallulli, a longtime schoolboy writer and columnist who is retiring probably in the next 15 minutes.
Not quite, Bill. I have a column going for Sunday, so we still have a little time.
Okay, Sunday. John, someone told me you were here in the Civil War, but I didn't believe that. What year did you actually walk into the Journal?
Actually, I walked in the summer of 64, shortly after I graduated from high school, just for a part-time, supposed to be a part-time job being a truck driver in the circulation, and somehow I found my way up to the newsroom that following fall, and for, again, another part-time job just when I was going to school, and I met the former late Journal sports writer Bill Perillo, saw me walking around the newsroom, and Bill actually had known me because he had covered my hockey team when I was playing in high school, and he said, "Hey, why don't you come over? You know, why don't you come over here and take scores and stuff like that, and in the sports department." And of course, then the next thing I knew, by the next season, Perillo had me going out to the Rhode Island Auditorium for $5 or something, covering hockey games. So
probably the next year you were doing his columns.
But, no, not quite. Not that Billy wasn't a big hockey person, so I was kind of his hockey source, you know. But Billy's great. Well, that's it. And, you know, basically that's been it. I've been in, you know, held a bunch of other positions in addition to the working at the Journal, worked at Bryan College for sports information director for years, was absolutely great, but and worked actually in U.S. Congress. But the Journal was always part-time. I've been on the payroll from the Journal from 1964 till this week, continual. I've never not worked for the Journal, so there's always been the Journal.
When did you actually start full-time here?
Well, it's funny because, Dave Blass was always, who the editor at the time, was always trying to get me, come on, you got to come with us just full time. And I want to say it was like 1990 that I found, okay, we'll go full time with just the Journal. So the Journal became one of my, a couple of years earlier, Paul Kenyon, who I had been with and working on the high school beat, who was absolutely great, had gone on the Red Sox beat. So I had taken over pretty much just, I had taken over the whole high school beat at that time. But finally, Blass got me in, I think it was about 90, 91, to come full-time, nothing but the Journal. And so I've been doing nothing but the Journal work for, 27 years? 28 years?
Yeah, close to 30.
Sounds like a long time.
That's a long time, though, yeah.
Who are some of the people, you know, when you write your memoir someday, who are some of the people that you covered that's to you stand out the most?
Oh, there's so many when you talk to student athletes. I mean, I've covered, I've been to every high school, at least one of every high school Super Bowl football game since they started in 1972. I've been to the years when they played at Pierce Field, when they played 3 days on the same field, four games, and I'd be at every one. So, you know, I've seen so many people. I was there when Bill Belisle started his record 26-year run in 1978 for the state titles. I was there when they lost it. They finally lost that record in 2004, I guess it was. I mean, you know, that was so good, I wrote a book about it. You know, I think I was there for every one of the games. But, you know, there are people that I have, I wrote the first piece on Will Blackman, and I wrote, I remember doing a piece with Brian Barad sitting in Bill Belisle's office, and I wrote that this kid could be the number one draft choice, and people in Rhode Island said, come on, be serious, you know. Even though Brian Lawton had been the number one draft choice back in 83, nobody had done it for a while, and I didn't think anybody had it. And, you know, 2 years later, Brian Barad is the number one draft choice. So, you know, there's people like that, the Will Blackburn, Brian Barad, David Emma, the hockey players. I mean, and obviously later in the year, Elizabeth Beisel, who was just an amazing, her story. I was the first person who talked to Elizabeth Beisel in terms of writing a story about this girl someday might go to the Olympics, you know. 2 years. 2 years later, she's at the Olympics.
And people thought you were crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. You know, and 2 years later, Elizabeth at the Olympics, and I had, you know, the fun of chronicling that through the whole thing. So yeah, there's been Jamie Silva, Lorenzo Perry. There's so many of these kids. Liam Cohen, the baseball players. I was there at Rocco Baldelli the last time Rocco Baldelli played his last game at McCoy Stadium, hit two home runs. You know, all of those things. To pick out one or two would be very difficult.
Sure, sure. No, I always envied you because I thought you had the greatest speed here.
Of course. They're the best story.
Well, sure, because you go to the Red Sox and no one ever talks to you, and you go to a high school game and a kid, you know, they love to talk to you.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Let's put it this way. You're right. A high school athlete has never told me they don't want to talk to me. And that's been 50 years. So how many other sports writers could ever say that?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. They don't want to talk to anybody else.
No, exactly.
Okay, you've been doing this for, obviously, like almost forever. What, in your opinion, what does high school sports mean to Rhode Island?
Oh, high school sport. I mean, to Rhode Island and also to the people in Rhode Island. I mean, high school sports are home. High school sports are what you talk about at the dinner table. You may talk about the Red Sox, but not on a personal note.
Right.
High school sports, you talk about that on a personal note because Johnny and Jane have just played the game.
Right.
Yeah, so it's the one real thing that you talk about at the dinner table, and it's the one thing where people are a real passionate fan. People say, I'm a passionate Red Sox fan. Yeah, sure, they're a passionate fan, but it's a remote thing. This is a in-the-family actual existence that they're passionate about this. Now, it may only be for 4 years. In the early days, it was only 3 years. Now, when you get, if you have larger families, it can be spanned over 20 years. But they're passionate about it, and they're really passionate.
No,
about it.
I totally understand that. Of all the things I've ever covered in my life, high school kids are the best, I think. For everything you say, they're unvarnished. It's the first time they appreciate it. They have a story to tell. It's a
yeah.
What will you most? I can't read. What will you miss most about all this?
The people, the kids, coaches, but the kids.
Yeah.
They keep you young, Bill.
That's guys, my problem.
Exactly. For guys our age, that's the.
No, I mean, I totally get it.
Yeah, I had 5 decades of this. I mean, yeah. I'm 72 years old, and I still at times feel like, I'm still a high school kid. I mean, and you can relate to this. I mean, I think I have always tried to remember what it felt like when we were high school athletes.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You do that.
No, I totally understand.
You got to stay young. You're not young. You're kidding yourself that you're young.
No, but also, I've been covering sports, I don't know, for, like it seems like 100 years. But you almost never go wrong with a high school kid. You can go wrong with the Red Sox and the Patriots, and you're part of a pack, and you're sitting there, and you wait till like 35 minutes for Jim Rice, and he walks by and goes, yeah, okay, see you tomorrow. You never get that with a high school kid.
You know, I did other things, especially in those early days. I was covering the Pawtucket Indians. I was a, quote, beat man on the Pawtucket Indians before the Pawtucket Red Sox existed. People probably don't remember. They used to be in Cleveland Indians franchise.
I unfortunately
do remember.
Yeah.
Sure.
I wish I didn't.
I was there a couple of years later. I was there when Ben Mondor first came in with Mike and Lou, and they were friends. Ben was a deep friend for years, the late Lou and Mike and Lou still are friends. So I've been part. There were other things when the high school season was off during the summer. I did some other things in the early years.
Sure.
When the high school season now is almost going 11 months out of the year, so there's no off time.
No, really. In many ways, I always thought you had the best job at the sports department.
Well, that's why I've been doing it for so long, Bill.
No, really, because it's just for everything you've said, I've never had a bad experience with a high school kid, and you have a zillion bad experiences with pros.
Of course. It makes you feel, and I always like to think of myself as a positive person. If you think positive, then you've got to like high school, because, that's one of the great things. If you're writing high schools, you always have a winner. You're always writing about a winner,
And you also, you basically almost all the time write stories that make people happy.
Well, yes, exactly. Well, again, you're dealing with a winner. So unlike Red Sox, now the Red Sox are always winning. But and Patriots and Red Sox, they had a lot of years when the guys that were covering that, like, whoa, that's brutal because they weren't winning a lot of games. So there weren't ever that many positive stories. And I said it at the All-State dinner last month. There aren't too many sports writers who can say that they've always been writing about winners. I've always been writing about winners. And that makes you feel good.
I always write about losers.
Well, you know.
It's a message.
The days
somewhere.
Of New England professional sports these days, thank God, are much more about winning. But you and I went through the years where there were some, you know, those early years of the Patriots were some very, very.
No, but I've always envied you in a sense that I think the ability to have someone, to interview someone who wants to be interviewed, and you have the time to do it, is a gift.
Yeah, and it's great.
Because we spend so much time as sports writers, you know, chasing guys through locker rooms, and they're running in the shower to get away from you, stuff like that. What you have done is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, and there's different levels of it that where in terms of the kids and what they've accomplished. But, you know, some of them are levels that, exactly, we mentioned the Will Blackman and Brian Barad and Brian Lawton and those guys and Rocco, who was taken to extremely high levels. So the kids who, in terms of athletics, their high school days were their most important days or their most successful days. But they've taken their lives and it's helped them in their lives.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's absolutely great.
So you don't regret any of that?
I mean,
wish that you could have given that up and covered the Red Sox.
No. I was asked. No. I had that opportunity, especially when I was doing the Paw Sox. And by that time, I concluded, I like to think I'm a writer. And if you're a writer, you know this. You're looking for, good stories.
Stories that haven't been told.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, stories that have not been told. Yeah, so.
How old were you into covering high schools? Did you begin to realize that so many of life lessons are right there in front of you?
I think fairly early. And, when my children were born, I realized that's where those are a lot of the things. I mean, all of us who grew up playing high school sports, we learned how many things. We learned to lose.
John.
You never lost. I mean, fortunately, when I was in high school, I had great teammates, so I won state championships.
Then I was in college, I never won. So
right, right. But and I think we learned that. And of course, at the time that you're doing it, you don't realize it, and then years later, you realize it. And then, of course, I got to see it in kids, and I got to see where coaches would tell me how far a kid had improved from the time he was a freshman to the time he was a senior and how much more mature he became. So, yeah, it's huge, and you realize that. And again, as a father, it was great that I could see it happening. And, my family shared me with all the high school kids.
Well, it's funny. I always envied you.
Thank you.
I mean, for your job, because the best thing I ever did as a sports writer was do a book on the Durfee High School team of Fall River for exactly the same reasons. You're there all the time. You see kids. They're unvarnished. You have total access. It's much better. I mean, people ask me all the time, you must love going to the Patriots. No one loves going to the Patriots except fans.
Fans do. And
it's just such a different world. Yeah. And the ability, I would think, to have access to people you want to write about is a great gift.
It's a great gift. It's an absolutely great gift. And, the thing is, and that's the wonderful thing, I'll talk to coaches now. Again, I've seen 50 years, and people say, oh, God, kids are so different now. They're not different. I mean, the way they communicate is different, but they themselves are not different. I mean, they still, they're part of their family. The intention is to set the basis for having a good life where they make contributions to society, you see that. You see that development in high school. And then, of course, they take it so many. And again, I'll have people come back to me 20 years later and very successful in various areas. And they say, the high school played a huge role in this. So,
thank you, John.
You're welcome, Lynn.